Welcome to Four Quarter Friday, part of the Chief Sports Network. Talking South Carolina high school sports every Friday morning and proudly presented by the South Carolina Athletic Coaches Association. With weekly appearances from coaches, players, and media around the state. Let's go! Off the first quarter. Happy Friday.
And welcome to Four Quarter Friday here on the Chief Sports Network. I am Matt Smith, and you can see Steve Hall is missing today. Usually he's there to my left, but Steve is out with the flu. No surprise, as it's been running through our state. Steve is in and out of high schools all the time as part of his job. So Four Quarter Friday won't be the same without its co-creator, Steve Hall, today. But what we have done is now we have taken that opportunity. Steve's on his back. Okay, so we've taken that chance to really spread our wings in terms of reaching out for guests. And we have got three fantastic guest joining us today. Of course, we are in the heart of the boys and girls playoffs. Baseball and softball are taking the field. And we never forget, football is never far from our hearts and minds here on Four Quarter Friday. So we are covering all of that today on the program. We are so glad that you are with us. We want this to be an interactive program. We, of course, won't get to everything. So we want you to chime in, get in the chat with us on YouTube if you can. You can also email the show at fourquarterfriday@gmail.com. Something perhaps that we miss, overlook, or that we just didn't dig into enough. We're all going to be sure to do it because we're here with you every single week. fourquarterfriday@gmail.com. That's the number four. And of course, we want you to download the Chief Sports app. That way, you have access to all the programming all the time across the Chief Sports Network, and that includes Inside the Gamecocks and the SEC Sunday Night Show and everything that we've got going on. But if you're here for high school, that's what we're going to do because, as I said, we are in the heart of it. Dutch Fork, Dorman, Gray Collegiate, all kinds of teams now in action this week after those top seeds enjoyed a bye last week. So those teams are playing either tonight or tomorrow. And now everybody is in peril because you're starting to get to the water gets deep really fast here in the high school playoffs. And we're going to have Lou Bazejack join us in our next segment in the second quarter. He's going to join us, and he covered, well, as part of what he covers, it was the most fascinating situation. And this only happens, it seems, this time of year in high school, the playoffs. Something wacky happens every year, but if you haven't seen this story, there was a fire at Brooklyn Casey as they were playing host to Midland Valley. And they had to suspend the game. And when they came back, this was on Tuesday night, when they came back to finish the game on Wednesday, there were discrepancies in what the score was, whether it was supposed to start back 62-60 or 63-60 or 62-59. Well, they eventually settled the game, and Midland Valley wins 66-60. They had to come back and finish the final 13.7 seconds a day after the fire. This is the kind of thing that happens in the playoffs. It's not just what's happening on the court. It's in the stands. It's in the parking lot. It's on the message boards. It's everywhere. So I want to dig into that story, of course, coming up with Lou Bazejack. We'll do that in our second quarter. We also have Brandon Brown joining us today, tournament director for the Classic Baseball Tournament in Georgetown. And they have got an incredible field from all across the state. What they have done, this is the tournament that was begun by Mike Johnson, legendary Mike Johnson, who we lost earlier this year. Mike Johnson started this tournament. You may remember his son, Michael Johnson, went on to star at Clemson. And what they are doing, their mission is to get the best players and teams from the Palmetto State to Georgetown, where the weather's usually a little bit better in early March than it is in the upstate. And they take everybody they can get. And it is a fantastic field. You're going to have pro scouts there. You are going to have college scouts. You have got players that you want to see, hear about, and know their names. And so we're going to dig into that with Brandon Brown coming up. That's coming up in our third quarter. And then we're going to close it out today with the executive director for the South Carolina Football Coaches Association, Jason Farmer. He's a dorman assistant right now, former head man at Woodmont and Landrum and elsewhere. And he was an assistant at Spartan High. He's been an assistant at Dorman under Jake Morris now the last few years. And Jason Farmer is a part of the coaches clinic that's taking place in Myrtle Beach this week, where all of the football coaches from across the state get together. And it's a great atmosphere. That's actually where we were going to be until Steve ended up with the flu, because he was going there as part of his job. And we were going to be there, so we couldn't do that. So we're going to bring the best we can. We're going to bring the football clinic to you the best way that we can. But we're going to take our first break, and we're going to have Lou Basejack. We'll jump right into it. This is not one of those days that we will wade in. We are going to leap right into it, because the basketball playoffs are happening in the state of South Carolina. And you've got Goose Creek in action and Gray Collegiate in action and defending champion Keenan, who is a 5 seed this year, but looks really good. Westwood is a 3 seed, but they're dangerous. Dorman's a 4 seed. If they and Ridgeview win, you've got a matchup next week of Ridgeview and Dorman between two legendary coaches. I know Thomas Ryan won't let me calling him legendary at his age, but he's already got 6 state titles. And Ridgeview's won 6 out of the last 8 state championships. We could see them on the floor, sharing the floor together before we're back with you next week. So there is a lot to get to. We're going to cover it quickly with Lou Basejack. Tell your friends, Four Quarter Friday is on the air covering high school across the Palmetto State. We'll take our first break. When we come back, it's the second quarter with Lou Basejack from the state here on Four Quarter Friday.
Season. The Barn Dominium Company wants to help you build your dream home with your dream space to watch the games and entertain your friends and family. Make your dream a reality. Visit thebarndominiumco.com. That's thebarndominiumco.com for floor plans, photo galleries, locations, and to learn more about us.
Oh, man. The building is on fire.
Emergencies and accidents happen. When you're in the middle of a fire or water event, all you want is for things to return to normal as soon as possible. Resto Pros of the Midlands is with you, guiding you through the process and working with you to get your home or office back in working order. They'll answer your questions, discuss procedures, and can act as your advocate when it comes to processing your insurance claim. RestoProsMidlandsSC.com. Open 24/7 when you need them. Quality that is guaranteed.
When playing sports, you want a coach that will fight for you. At Hewitt Diamandouros Law Firm, we've got your back. Whether it's personal injury, insurance disputes, negligence, or wrongful death, our team delivers exceptional legal services that makes meaningful difference in the lives of the individuals and families we work for. Visit hdlawsc.com. hdlawsc.com. Hewitt Diamandouros, we're on your team. You're tuned into the state of South Carolina's weekly high school show, Four Quarter Friday, hosted by Matt Smith and Steve Hall, part of the Chief Sports Network, and proudly presented by the South Carolina Athletic Coaches Association. Keep believing, no plans on leaving, even if we have a losing season.
Grind is a capital letter on my baseball cap. It's what holds us together around this dot on the map. Now it's the cut.
The high school football, the high school basketball playoffs are upon us. And as I told you, we are not wading in. We're not taking the steps into the pool. We are cannonballing in because so much has happened. We welcome Lou Bazejack from the state in with us. Obviously, Lou is in the back of a black car Uber. This is how he's transported from game to game. Lou, thanks so much, man. It's good to see you, and we love following your coverage. We'll try to get to everything or as much as we can, but thanks so much for getting up with us.
Appreciate you having me on, always.
Well, Lou, we had so much fun last time, and we wanted to bring you back on quickly, especially after. Let's see if you can tell this story and straighten it out for me. I tried to give the highlights in the opening segment about the fire at Brooklyn Casey. There's a fire at Brooklyn Casey. Midland Valley is there visiting. They're leading late, 13.7 seconds left. They have to evacuate the building. They make the decision. They're going to come back the next day. And then I see you tweeting on X. Well, they don't know what the score is. There's a discrepancy in the scorebook. So tell us what happened and why this always happens to us in South Carolina at playoff time.
Yeah, this is a new one about the fire and the scorebook. I've seen that happen before, but never a fire in both. You have all kinds of things going on. They had to evacuate the gym. They had an auxiliary gym. I guess it was not playable. So they make Midland Valley drive an hour and 10 minutes back home, an hour and 10 minutes to get back there. And then when they get there, the game's delayed like 20 minutes just to decide what the score was. They thought it was either 62-60, 63-60, or I think there was one that said 62-59. So they agree, and it's found out that it was 62-60, Midland Valley with the lead and the ball. They inbound the ball. They get a couple free throws. Brooklyn Casey misses a shot. Midland Valley gets a couple more free throws, and the game's over. And Midland Valley heads the Great Collegiate on Saturday for the second round. But a crazy day, crazy time to you don't see that too often, a fire and finishing the next day. You've seen it sometimes in football, maybe with a lightning delay or lights or something, but this one's a first.
Well, and Lou, you just mentioned Great Collegiate, so obviously Midland Valley has its work cut out for it because that's a team that has been on a blistering run. You're covering a couple of those. Great Collegiate's one. Ridgeview is another right there that you've been covering that are, I would say, favorites to win state championships. If you would, explain this to me, because I'd like to know why it is, say, Dutch Fork is in the upstate and Westwood is in the lower part of the state, depending on their brackets. What I want to know is, when is that decision made? Is that something after the playoff teams are decided, after the regions are decided? Because that affected, say, where Westwood was on the seed line and then where Burns was in the upstate, because Dutch Fork is in the upstate, so that makes Burns a 3 seed. Instead of a 2 seed, for example. So
yeah, and
how that works.
Well, Westwood's actually in Division II. So, but it was decided 2 years ago when the realignment was done. They did a hybrid, the Midlands region with Dutch Fork, and that's a hybrid region. Last year, Lexington and River Bluff were in the upper state, and Dutch Fork and Spring Valley were in the lower state. And I think they just flip-flop it this year. That's what it was, and that's what you get. And you had like Blythewood; they were in upper state in both, and Westwood lower state in both. That's all it was. It was a hybrid region, and they agreed that 2 years ago.
All right. Well, if you look at that 5A Division I bracket, and I mentioned to you that Ridgeview is a lot of people's favorites. 23-3 this season. They've won 6 out of 8 championships. They've won their last 5 games by an average of 26 points. Look, we can't look ahead, but if the chalk holds, look what we have next week. And you could catch, you know, one or two of these depending on the days they play. But if the chalk holds, you'd have Ridgeview and Dorman and Burns and Dutch Fork. Yeah, I mean, that is a dream.
Yeah, that's a Final Four. It would be great, and it would be next Tuesday night. That bracket plays tomorrow. Some of them Most of them are actually Spartanburg and Dorman play tonight because their girls are playing. So they decided to play a doubleheader tonight. And then, that would be something. We had Dorman in Ridgeview a few years ago. Dorman came and won. That was good. And then, like you said, Burns would have been the 2 seed if they would have beat Riverside last week in the regular season finale, but that dropped them from 2 to 3 because they were not a region champion, and Dutch Fork is a region champion, and that's why Dutch Fork got the number 2 seed. So, yeah, you're looking at 2 great matchups, and then you would have the upper state final, which would be at a neutral site when the winners, whoever wins on Tuesday, and then they'll decide where they're playing next Saturday.
And we can't look, you know, too far ahead. Look, I could tell you right now, Zach Rich and Spartan High, they have been close mm-hmm. to pulling a major upset all season long, so you can't overlook them. But and let's move down to 5A Division II. You know, you mentioned Riverside because they win Region 2 5A, which is a big-time achievement in a region mm-hmm. that includes Dorman, Spartan High, and Burns. Big-time achievement for Riverside, 23-3 overall. So they land in the one, you know, as a 1 seed. And then you've got Goose Creek and Westwood on the other side of the bracket. But Greenville's also a really good team. Now, these teams mm-hmm. are outside of who you cover. So I just wonder, do you have a handle on these teams? Because this is a little bit different than 5A Division I for you. That's your backyard. You know so many of those teams. These teams, yeah. I don't know how many you've gotten to see. How are you handicapping this bracket?
Well, I've seen White Knoll, Irmo, Westwood. I saw Greenville once earlier this year. They were down here for the MLK, and I'm very familiar with Coach Stoneman, who was the former Ridgeview coach, who was went to Oak Hill and then now is back, and saw them play in the state that last year. They won it all. Caden Coleman's really good. They lost the big guy Whitley, who enrolled early at Florida State for football, so that's a big loss in the middle. But they've been able to overcome that. But Riverside's really good, and the season they've had and the wins they've had have been pretty fun to see, and that's looking like another tough bracket. And then you throw in Fort Mill, who's had some ups and downs, but they're also a team to watch. In the lower state, I like Westwood. They're the way their guard play, and they get that bye, and then if they beat Conway, they might have to go to St. James unless Lugoff pulls another upset or win. Irmo, rematch with Berkeley from last year, they lost. I know they've been looking forward to going back down there tonight. That's actually both their teams, boys and girls, playing, but they decided not to do a doubleheader. So, Irmo has really good guard play, Christian Brown, and then they got a big guy in Broman and a freshman, Kyrie White, who was really good the other night against Chapin, had 21 points.
Yeah, I think Westwood and Irmo both, you correct me if I'm wrong, but I think they were the victims of being in really tough regions, which cost them some lines on the seed, which means they may have to go on the road a couple of times.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Westwood, they end up tying Ridgeview for the championship, but the tiebreaker, Ridgeview won the championship, so they didn't get a once. So instead, they could have been probably a 2 seed replacing St. James there. But yeah, that cost them. And then Irmo was behind Dutch Fork. They slipped up. They could have played for the region championship against Dutch Fork, but they lost to the game before that and end up finishing second there, tied with Lexington. But yeah, they're pretty strong, and they got some, like I said, a lot of young talent. So that should be a good game tonight at Berkeley.
This is the state's Lou Bays, Jack, joining us here on Four Quarter Friday. Before we go down to 4A, I want to ask you a question that's about a 5A story out there that you posted, which is, and everybody can follow on X, follow Lou at the state. He's one of the best in terms of keeping you up to date with everything. But Chad Lephart is going to step down at Lexington. What can you tell us about that story? And because I saw you broke it, it seems.
Yeah, Chad Lephart, he was former head coach at Swansea and in Gilbert, and then he stepped down at Gilbert to take the Lexington One district athletic director job. He replaced David Bennett, who was the inaugural, district AD. He was at, I think he's been there 2 years, and he's got enough years to retire. So, and that's what he's going to do in June. But then he's going to do a hire rehire that a lot of retired teachers do. And he's going to go to Saluda and be an assistant coach under Greg Warner. who was his, Greg Warner was Chad's offensive coordinator at Gilbert for several years. And Chad actually hired him out of college after Greg got done at North Greenville. So familiarity there, and he knows a lot of people at Saluda, and good transition. It's you could still coach and still teach, and you don't have the pressure of being a head coach and all that goes with it. So he still gets to do what he loves, and he loves being at places like Saluda and Swanson and Gilbert, where they love their athletics. So good transition for him. And that's a good hire for the Saluda coaching staff. Anytime you can get a former head coach that with his success to be on your staff is pretty good.
And it's going to be a good job that opens up then, right?
Well, yeah. That Lexington One district athletic director job is definitely will have a lot of interested people. Be interesting to see how that plays out. I know there's some people in the district. I mean, some current ADs there, but current ADs around the state and not just in the area, I think will apply. It's definitely a good job and a good district to work with.
All right. This is Lou Bezjet joining us. Let's talk about 4A for a moment. Gray Collegiate, 23-2 on the season. They just look unstoppable. I put this stat in my notes, Lou. They have laid waste to their last six opponents by an average score of 87-38. So, I mean, that's incredible. That's just, that's flat out incredible. So now, you're going to see Gray Collegiate back in action against, they're going to play Midland Valley. So Midland Valley had to play almost a doubleheader, right, to make the travel twice. Yeah. Now Midland Valley's going to have to travel to Gray Collegiate. Good luck. But I just was wondering, is there any team in 4A that you have seen that is in the class? I mean, I know North Augusta is good. Wilson is good that you hear a lot about. I mean, who can stop Gray Collegiate? They just seem to, the second half of the season, they clicked. And they've not only been beating teams, but beating everybody like a drum.
Yeah, they've been really dominant once region play started. And playing Midland Valley, this will be the third time. They've blown them out the first two times, and they might get in third matchup with North Augusta. And first match, they've had a couple close games there, and that would be a fun matchup to see next week. And then if things hold serve, you got Gray Collegiate Wilson at the Florence Civic Center next. I think it's it would be next Friday, I believe, and that would be that would be fun to see. I mean, Wilson would have the fans in there, and they got Josh Leonard, who's the last year's Gatorade Player of the Year and definitely a favorite to win it again this year, number one prospect in the state. So, yeah, that would be a fun matchup. And Dion Bethay, out of high school coaching last year and now back in it, and talent. They get Levi Ball's talent, Jaden Rowe. They got a lot of good pieces, and they play well as a team. They've gotten a lot better since the beginning, the opening loss to Ridgeview, and they've really done a good job, played a tough schedule as well.
Yeah, and Dion Bethay is always good for a quote, right? It's easy to cover them.
Because Oh, yeah.
All right, let's talk about 3A, 2A, and 1A as well. I don't know if you've gotten your eyes on Christchurch at all in 3A, but to me, it stands out. I bring it up every time we talk about the Cavaliers. They've only got one loss. Nobody's done it inside the state, and they also knocked off Dutch Fork. I mean, I think that's just incredible. Now, I know there are other good teams in 3A, you know, Loras among them. Keenan is the defending champs, even though they're going to have to do it, you know, on the road a little bit as a three seed. But I don't know what you know about Christchurch, but I'm just wondering, of the teams that you've seen, who's the biggest challenger to knocking off Christchurch somewhere along the way?
Yeah, Christchurch has been good. John Butler, the head coach, whose son plays at South Carolina Jordan, and other son plays in the G League and has done some time in NBA. He's actually from Columbia. So they're strong, and they definitely can make a run. They're very talented. Maybe Mountain View Prep, BHP, maybe in the upper state, maybe a challenge. Powdersville, if they could upset Mountain View, that will be fun to see. Then you got in the lower state, you mentioned Loras. They made it to the state semifinals last year. You got Orangeburg Wilkinson, which is always good. And then you mentioned Keenan's kind of the wild card, even though they're a powerhouse, but have to do it on the road a couple more times and do it without their head coach, Zach Norris. I mean, he's able to run practices. He's just not able to coach in games because of the penalties from handed down earlier in the year. And but they got the talent. They got Antoine Coffin's really good, Broderick Anderson, Kamari Hunter, Zion Jones. They're a really talented team. If they could, I wouldn't want to go against them just because of that, but I think they could make it. But having to go to OW possibly in the third round would be something that's a pretty good environment as well.
That reminds me, there was a story that, no, let's see if I get it straight. I saw a tweet from Pete Yannity that somebody went to Chapin instead of Chapman this week. Did you hear this story?
Yeah. So that was it actually in the girls.
In the girls bracket.
The girls bracket. But yeah, it was BHP at Chapman,
But they went to Chapin. They got on like there was.
Yeah, they went to Chapin instead of Chapman. So, and their game started an hour late. Yeah, so they went on the wrong trip, man. I don't know how you get that wrong. We talked about the fire. It's the same night as the fire, and you got a team going to a different city. I mean, not even close. It's not like Chapin and Chapman are even close in the area. So, I don't know how that happened. And then,
I hope the scouting report was right. That's the main.
Yeah, I think the school's right. It's just, I don't know, a bus driver there, whoever was driving the bus there. And when did they realize that? And they were like, where are we going? And yeah.
We'll go through 2A and 1A as well. In 2A, High Point Academy is one of the big dogs. They are 22-2 on the season. Andrew Jackson is also good. So I don't know how much you've gotten to see of those teams as well. Oh, by the way, before we get to 2A, I want to ask you, Lou, where are you going to be tonight? Because we got big games tonight all across.
Yeah, I'll be at Lexington River Bluff girls rivalry game, third matchup of the year, playoffs. I think it's the first time they played against each other in the playoffs. It should be River Bluff head coach Jordan Leith was a former assistant at Lexington under Molly Goodrich. So a lot of storylines there, and obviously the rivalry of the schools close together. It should make for a fun atmosphere tonight.
All right, we'll talk about 2A. As I said, High Point Academy is a team that, just rolling this season. They were tested by Landrum. So, I mean, they were in a good region there in the upstate. But you see that Clinton's also a one seed the way they do 2A. Hampton County, Phillips Simmons. And I'm looking for some teams that might be close, really close to your area. I don't know how many of
them. American Leadership. I mean, that's out of Lexington. This is the second year. Tyson Bocknight, who former Lexington player, he's got them going really good. They're at home again tonight. I mean, it's the first time they've been in playoffs. They won a playoff game the other night, won the region. So, yeah, they're a team to watch out. Clinton, I think any one of those one seeds have a shot for sure in the upper state. You got High Point, Andrew Jackson, Clinton, and American Leadership. A salute to Clinton should be fun tonight. That's two schools, two programs that are love their sports and that. So, yeah, looking at, and then on the lower bracket, I mean, Hampton County is definitely one to watch. Mullins, always strong. Atlantic Collegiate made it far last year as well, I think. So also fun to watch. It'll also be one to watch. And then Phillips Simmons, which is the region champion as well in the lower state.
Right, and Atlantic Collegiate is going to have to go on the road at Phillips Simpson. That's a great atmosphere. That would be a fun one. That would be a really fun game to be at tonight. Now, in 1A, I know Horse Creek Academy is good. We've been tracking. C.A. Johnson is a team, Lou, that I want to bring up because I've said this all season long that C.A. Johnson took 7 losses, but the schedule they played as a 1A team was absolutely remarkable. Playing Dutch Fork and T.L. Hanna and Ridgeview and others. So, what do you think about C.A. Johnson and their chances to go all the way because they're so well-tested?
Yeah, Robert McRae, their head coach, I mean, they played everyone. They played Ridgeview, and it was close. I think it was a tie game late against Ridgeview. It was at the Bojangles Bash earlier this year. They got the Class A Player of the Year, Milton McRae, and they got a three-headed monster with McRae, Tony Odom, and Isaac Germany. I mean, and you throw in Javarius Weiss. I mean, they're going to be tough to stop. I think a team that has size, that's one thing they don't have is the size, but they could shoot and they can get up and down. You mentioned Horse Creek. I think Horse Creek and Abbeville. You could have C.A. Johnson and Abbeville in the third round, which would be a heck of a matchup there. And then you had Horse Creek in the upper state. So you got those one seeds still left, and then you throw in like Lamar and HKT, and capable capable programs as well. So yeah, CA Johnson made it to the semifinals last year, and disappointing finish, but they've been pointing to this, and I think last year's experience kind of helped them, and we'll see if they can get over that hump and get back to the state championship, which they won under when Kerry Rich was there as a player. They were there a few years ago in the state semifinals, but it would be good to see them represent the city of Columbia.
All right, well, I'll let you go with this, Lou. I know we got into this, meaning me and you and almost everybody that does it. We love the games. We love the players. We love the coaches. But a story that won't die is the idea that a board could be formed that would then do away with the South Carolina High School League. I don't know how coaches would react to that, because the high school league is the high schools. So you think they want to govern themselves, but what is your take on this, and why is it a story that won't die?
Yeah, I just posted a story earlier this morning. Kind of the lawmakers are kind of pushing for this bill. Obviously, it's going to go on the House floor on Tuesday. I know it was mentioned in yesterday's executive committee, high school league executive committee at the end, just kind of get involved, talk to your legislators and that. And it's just, they just think some of the lawmakers and proponents of this bill think that the high school league is not run well. They don't, some of the things with transfers and appeals and rulings, that they don't think it's done well. Some are even calling for a commissioner to step down. And if he would step down, maybe they pull this bill out. So we'll see what, I don't see that happening. I don't think Commissioner Singleton would step down. And yeah, the high schools, they're definitely not in favor of it. Because if you look at that board they want to create, there's no one from like athletic directors or anyone on that board. So that would make a challenge, because there's a lot that goes on with running the high school league. And I don't know if that's been taken into consideration. Even if it does pass on Tuesday, it's still got to go in the same pattern to the Senate. And I don't know how, what the Senate, the senator's thoughts on that. They got to go to committee, and you're looking at another month or two. But yeah, it's going to be an interesting next 4 or 5 days before it goes on the floor, I think Tuesday afternoon.
I find it fascinating. I'm like you. I can't imagine that it would happen, because I think once the reality hits that a board can't do what the high school league can do, at least not with ease. I just don't think you've got the contact with the schools, right? You can't just make rules and let it go. You have to be in constant contact with athletic directors and principals to make it go.
Yeah, and you talk about, I mean, little things. I mean, scheduling, finding venues for championships.
Officials,
and the official, Lee Sawyer, member of the Officials Association, who's on executive committee, kind of made that clear yesterday during the executive committee that they're going to have problems dealing with the officials in that, because, I mean, it's not easy, man. You just think of scheduling all officials. Now you look at spring sports, you got baseball, softball, you got soccer, all these officials, and try to get things together. I don't know if the lawmakers know everything that's involved, or maybe they do and they have someone in place, and maybe they'll amend it and say, hey, yeah, you can, if you're an athletic director or whatever, you can kind of be on the board, whatever. On the surface, it doesn't make a lot of sense. It happened in North Carolina a couple of years ago, but I don't know. I don't think I know members. Most of the people involved at the schools, ADs and principals, they're definitely not in favor of. There's probably some, but I just don't see. I don't see the logic behind it. But we'll see what happens in the next couple of days. Maybe it does get pulled, but I think it probably will pass in the House most likely. And then it will go from there.
All right. Best way to follow you. I follow you on X, obviously, Lou, with the state. Yep. And I see the state, everything, thestate.com. So that's just the best way to catch everything that's going on.
Correct. Yep.
Love it, Lou. Have so much fun tonight. I love that you're going to be in a rivalry game. Don't forget to tip your driver, and then we'll check in with you in a couple weeks.
All right. Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
All right. Thank you. Lou Bazejack from the state joining us. Hey, we're talking baseball when we come back. It is that time of year. The weather is starting to warm. Softball and baseball teams are taking the field. And the unofficial start to baseball season will be the Classic Baseball Tournament in Georgetown. The first year without Mike Johnson, who passed away last year. He will be missed, but his presence will be felt. We'll talk to Brandon Brown about all of that and all the great players and teams that are descending upon Georgetown in a couple of weeks. We'll do that when we come back. This is Four Quarter Friday on the Chief Sports Network.
Palm Casual Outdoor Patio Furniture proudly supports high school athletics across South Carolina. If it's time to make your outdoor space the best it can be, with lifetime warranties and guarantees, visit one of our Palm Casual stores in Myrtle Beach, Bluffton, Somerville, or Mount Pleasant. PalmCasual.com. PalmCasual.com. Turn on the lights. It's Friday night.
At Moultrie Insurance, our agents are working for you. Our commercial lines of coverage are well-sourced and intimately chosen. We offer commercial lines of coverage such as business owners, umbrella, property, auto, or general liability coverage, and evaluate every option to find what fits you best. Like a good offensive coordinator, we will draw up the plays, but only run with what you feel comfortable. Get in touch with our quarterback, Perry Orth, or our head coach, Frank, by visiting MoultrieIns.com. MoultrieIns.com.
It's the Four Quarter Friday High School Show on the Chief Sports Network. Proudly covering high school athletics across the state of South Carolina, with accurate, trusted analysis, in-depth interviews with coaches, media, and players, and quality information. Every Friday at 9 a.m., we're here for you. Proud partner of the South Carolina Athletic Coaches Association.
And welcome back in to Four Quarter Friday. We're going to have Brandon Brown talking to us in just a moment. Love checking in with Lou Bazejack the way that we did. However, he does a great job, and he's got his eyes and ears all over the place. As I said, we're going to have Brandon Brown join us from the Classic Baseball Tournament in just a moment. That's going to be happening in Georgetown. But we don't have Brandon just yet. So what we will do is we're going to talk about our – oh, and I should have asked Lou about our particular Palmetto player profile for this week, because we have got Malik Tinsley from Lancaster High School, who has committed to Coker. So he's going to play with the Cobras. And you see Malik Tinsley right there, just another one of those players that has committed – from in-state, and we want to celebrate that every time we see a player that is going to continue wherever his journey takes him. And Malik Tinsley is going from Lancaster High School. He's a senior this year, and he's going to be playing with Coker next year. So our Palmetto player profile, as yet unsponsored. So, but we wanted to highlight Malik Tinsley. Congratulations to Malik for committing to Coker. He's going to continue his career. We knew that he would. He's a highly ranked player inside our state. We knew that he would, but congratulations to Malik going ahead and committing to Coker. I'll tell you, as we try to get Brandon Brown to join the show here, I'll tell you a couple of games that I've got my eye on. And look, my bias is going to show through here, but I, you know, grew up, I went to Dorman High School, grew up around the coaches. We talked about them a couple of weeks ago with Lane Fowler, Doug Lau, and Mark Freeze, Doug Lau at Spartan High, and Mark Freeze at Dorman. And I went to Dorman, but I saw Spartan High and all that they did. And then all the championship runs as I was covering sports in the upstate, the championship runs from Gaffney with under Mark Huff. And just everything that was happening, of course, Burns and Harold McManus, and now Lane Fowler has taken that torch. And I've got my eye on Dorman and Spartan High tonight, because Dorman has, I know nobody is going to cry for a team that has had as much success as Dorman has, especially under Thomas Ryan. You know, at one point, four straight state championships. But because of the weather at the end of the year, it has been a very challenging February for the Dorman Cavaliers that continues into the playoffs. So to close out the season, it was 5 games in 8 days for Dorman. And I'll tell you why I'm bringing this up in a moment. 5 games in 8 days. They take a last-second loss to Burns on their home floor. They then rebound, pull a win over Riverside. You know how good Riverside is. They're the one seed in 5A Division II. Then Dorman finishes with convincing wins over Eastside and Wade Hampton. Okay? 5 titles under his belt at Dorman. He's got them peaking at the right time. But the bad news is, so 5 games in 8 days, and then they've got Spartan High tonight, a rivalry game, a well-coached team under Zach Rich. And they're still in the same bracket with Ridgeview. So that's how difficult this is. Just imagine the level of teams that they're playing to close out the season, which includes Burns and Riverside and Spartan High in the playoffs. And if they do all of that, they get Ridgeview and they have to do it on the road. And I'm just pointing out, again, nobody's going to cry for a head coach in Thomas Ryan who has 500 wins and 5 championships and all the things that they've done and the players that they've had come through there, like Talon Cooper and P.J. Hall and others, Josh Beadle. We know nobody's going to cry, shed a tear for Dorman, but I'm just pointing out they are just one of those teams that ended up having to play that very difficult schedule. Meanwhile, you have other teams elsewhere that are coming off long layoffs. You've got clubs that have had 9 or even 10 days off because their region schedule ended, you know, kind of staggered and ended one game earlier than some others, and then they get a bye. So then you've got the rust versus rest. So anyway, just got my eyes. But the game to me, Lou Bays, Jack mentioned you've got a rivalry game on the girls' side in River Bluff and Lexington. And so you can catch that at the state. Follow him, Lou at the state on X, and you'll get updates there. But for me, on the guys' side, on the boys' side, at the very top in 5A Division I, Dorman and Spartan High. Can Dorman do it again? I've said all season I thought Spartan High was going to get somebody. I thought they were going to kind of ruin somebody's season because of how many close games they've played against teams like Burns and Spartanburg and Riverside and others. And if you're Dorman, you have to be on upset alert. It wouldn't even be much of an upset. But anyway, that's in 5A. And I know I show my bias sometimes because we end up talking a lot about Region 2 5A. But that's what I covered for so long. That's where I was. Now I'm down here on the coast, which means I've got the Classic Baseball Tournament coming into my backyard. We're trying to get Brandon Brown with us. We're going to give it one more shot. We'll take another break. We're going to try to get Brandon Brown to join us so we can talk about the Classic baseball tournament coming to Georgetown. And don't forget, if you love football, we're going to talk all about football with Jason Farmer, executive director for the South Carolina Football Coaches Association. The football clinic is happening in Myrtle Beach as we speak. And we're going to have Coach Farmer on to talk about all the things that are happening in high school football in South Carolina on the coaches' side and what this new season looks like after realignment and reclassification. We'll do that and more when we come back. It's Four Quarter Friday on the Chief Sports Network.
Morning, Carl. Usual?
Yeah.
Your oldest was in here the other day. Said the two of you took a trip down to my neck of the woods. How'd that go?
You might as well give me one of those Carolina cars while you're at it.
I knew I liked that one.
Yeah.
How you doing, my friend?
Thanks.
Hey, Carl. Congratulations.
See you tomorrow. Ready?
You bet.
Welcome to Dry Space Crawl Space Solutions. Basement crawl space encapsulation designed for your specific needs. Your crawl space can be susceptible to all sorts of issues, including moisture buildup, mold growth, and structural damage if not cared for properly. Let our trained experts provide basement crawl space encapsulation solutions to protect your home and improve air quality and enhance energy efficiency. Schedule your consultation today for a safer, healthier space at dryspacecs.com.
Do your wood floors need a touch up? Visit recoatrevolution.com in South Carolina today. Welcome back to Four Quarter Friday, part of the Chiefs Sports Network. Let's talk ball.
Welcome back to Four Quarter Friday. Matt Smith here with you. We are trying to get, maybe Jason Farmer will join us. We'll kind of move up and join us, as we've been unable to reach Brandon Brown. But that's okay. We will reschedule, because the Classic Baseball Tournament is coming up first week in March. And as I said, so many great players, so many players highly ranked by Diamond Prospects, so many teams that are highly ranked or going to compete for region and state championships are all going to gather in one place. So that's going to be really cool. So we will do that. If not today, we will do that next week. So just keep an eye out for that. And we're going to have Jason Farmer join us. The executive director for the South Carolina Football Coaches Association. Coaches Clinic is happening in Myrtle Beach. This is where all the football coaches get together. So let's talk to Jason now. Just check in with the Football Coaches Association and see what's happening. Coach, so great to see you. And I hope you're enjoying Myrtle Beach. I hope the weather's treating you okay down here on the coast.
Yeah, morning, Matt. Yeah, it's great down here. It's about 70 degrees this morning. So it's a lot better than 20 it was a couple weeks ago back home. So glad to be here.
As I said, the Coaches Clinic, it's such a celebration. And I know you coaches love to get together and see each other and share ideas and then swap stories. So tell us what's going on this weekend in Myrtle Beach, and what do you do as part of the Football Coaches Association to try to help these coaches get better, and which in turn helps the youth of our state?
Well, we've had this annual winter clinic here as long as I can remember, man. I've been doing this 34 years, and it's always been down in Myrtle Beach about this time. But, you know, we've seen really good growth with this over the last, I guess, coming out of COVID. It really has really started to grow. We're expecting over 400 coaches here this weekend. So we actually kicked it off yesterday with a new initiative we started 4 years ago called our 35 and Under Academy, where we bring in about 20 35 and under coaches that are selected by Coach Shane Fiddler, the AD at White Knoll, and his committee. Neil Smith helps with that as well. And brought them in yesterday, starting at noon, and from 12 to 8, they had speakers come in, superintendents come in, head football coaches. I spoke to them, you know, talked about the interview process as a head coach. Just a really good initiative that I'm proud of that our association's doing right now to help our young coaches. And then today we kick off with a barbecue lunch. Jeff Jordan of Chalk's Barbecue up in the West Oak area has come down here, and he's serving about 300 plates of barbecue. And Jeff is a former coach, so it's good to get him back down here and pouring into our association. And the first speaker starts at 2. Me and Coach Lancaster is one of them, so we'll start off with us, and then it'll have to get better after us. So then we get all the way through 7 tonight, and then all day tomorrow. All the way through 6 tomorrow night, where we'll announce our North-South coaches and our Shrine Bowl coaches tomorrow night.
Oh, that's cool. So we'll be looking forward to that, certainly, because that's such an honor when you get to do that. I'll ask you, have you gotten to be on those staffs before?
Well, I was on the North-South staff in 2019, and I was just selected to the Shrine Bowl staff, so I'll be on the Shrine Bowl this coming year.
Oh, that's okay. And hey, not far, so that won't be tough travel for you.
No, it won't be tough travel at all. It's you know, I know where Spartanburg High School is, that's for sure.
That's for sure. You were an assistant there, and we'll get to that in just a second. Tell us about the reaction. What are the conversations like around the region realignment, reclassification, as the coaches discuss that? Because I'm sure the Coaches Association can then, you know, share at least not a consensus, but can share ideas with the South Carolina High School League about ways to make it better. I know travel is always a concern. I'm always talking about rivalries that you try to keep alive. So from a coach's perspective, and by the way, you're an educator, so you don't want to be on the road all night long when the kids have to go to school the next day as well. So what's the reaction and what's the message around the coaches about the way realignment is done and how we can, you know, improve it every time we do it?
Man, I don't know the right answer, to be honest with you. I mean, it just seems like every year, I mean, they send out, you know, I've been at a two-way school and now I'm at a 5A school. And, you know, they send out these guidances of what they want it to look like. And to be honest with you, my opinion, you know, the guidance this year, just for instance, said no less than 36 5A schools and no more than 44 5A schools. And here we are with 35 5A schools. So that is what it is. And, you know, we had 40 and then a lot of them, you know, appealed and won their appeal and got down, moved down to 4A. You know, it's really tough because, you know, working with Coach Morris at Norman, I helped him with the schedule. It's just really tough in 5A, I know, to find games. And, you know, we worry about the geographical distance in region, but we don't worry about, say, Norman going all the way to Sumter and in 27, Sumter coming to Norman. That's 2.5 hour drive. I just passed Sumter on the way down here. So, you know, and, you know, it just, I think we focus so much on region play, we forget that we play five other games. And I was talking to a coach yesterday that made a great point. It's like, it needs to be, and it, this was his point, but it was a great point. If region play determines our playoff seeds, then region play needs to be more than half of the season. It's too important. So, and here we are, you know, we've got five non-region games, five region games, but last year we had seven region games. So, you know, it fluctuates back and forth. And I understood the 1A getting bigger because there's not a lot of football playing programs there. So it's hard for those football schools to find games. But I think they ended up with like 65. And I don't think I've ever seen a classification that big. But they didn't call me and ask me. So, but that's my two cents.
Yeah, but the guidance is important. And as I said, we can't ever forget about the coaches because you're there on the ground level. As you just said, you know, you've got to think about region play. And you think about the kids and what they're going through because you see that. You know, we do region realignment and reclassification every couple of years, but you see how it affects players on a daily basis and what's best for student athletes. And there's no, you know, I know that people talk about college football and players being paid and everything, but these are true student athletes. You know, they're in class all day, and then you've got to find a way to then you have to turn your attention to athletics in the afternoon. So it's a really completely different thing, and it's something that you guys as coaches are tasked with. So I think your guidance is very important.
Well, it is. And I guess the fortunate thing about football is we play on Friday night, so those kids get Saturday off. But, you know, it's tough for basketball, baseball, you know, all the spring sports, you know, where they're going on a Tuesday night and having to come around and go to class on Wednesday. But as far as region play goes, you know, as far as Norman goes, we're going over to Rock Hill three times. And you know, back when I was at Spartanburg, we did that. That was the old region 2-4A. It was 4A back then. And that was a good region. And we're excited about, you know, competing against Northwestern, all the success that Paige has had up there. And he's going to now be in our region. So it's a really tough region to play in. So, yeah, you got to worry about the student athletes the next day. You know, again, dealing with the football side of things more than anything, I think that break on Saturday certainly helps our kids.
Well, let's talk about something quickly, because I think one of the things you're trying to do, just from knowing you and the influence that Doc Davis had on you, is now with the Football Coaches Association, this is an opportunity for coaches to influence other coaches, which is really cool, like iron sharpens iron. So if you could share a story or just the way that Doc Davis influenced you, because he's someone whose influence was far-reaching, wow, and so many of the people that he touched got into coaching and are still doing it now.
Matt, I can't say enough about what Doc did for me and what I was able to experience in 10 years with him. I told someone yesterday, he's like a second father to me. I just talked to him on the phone last week. We talk at least once a month. And, you know, there's things when I was a head coach that I would do that that was because I learned from Doc. I mean, I just cannot narrow it down to one or two things in this little 10 or 15 minute conversation. It's, you know, it was consistency, what he did on a daily basis. And, you know, he had values that he had for his program for the 18 years he was at Spartanburg and the 5 years he was at Chapman. And he never wavered from that. And you knew from a decision standpoint, when a decision had to be made, that you knew what he was going to do, because he was always consistent and he loved kids, you know, and he was a hard worker. But, you know, just the consistency. And I'd say this too, I tell a lot of people this, you know, the championships didn't change him. I think in today's time, a lot of times championships change guys. And I was fortunate enough to win one with Doc in 2001. But, you know, you could go sit in his office and never know you were sitting in front of a guy that had won 5 state championships. And never took a team that didn't win. I mean, every state championship he went to, they won. So, you know, you just never knew that that's the kind of guy you were talking to. And he just never was someone that was going to brag about it. He just went to work and, you know, and just admire everything he did. And, you know, I'll say this too. When I talked to the 35 and under group yesterday, I said, you know, I'm very fortunate in the time that I got to come up when I was their age. You know, Doc hired me when I was 27 years old. And not only Doc, but I got to witness Jimmy Wallace at Northwestern, Jim Ringer at Rock Hill, John McKissick at Somerville, Ray Stackley, Tom Lewis at Sumter. You know, I got to experience all those guys walking the sideline and Dave Gutshaw, you know, and just got to look across the field. And, you know, at 27 years old, I didn't realize how great of a situation that was. But looking back on it after 34 years and seeing what those guys had done, and I got to share some of those memories, I'm in a great profession. I love what I do, and it's just going to keep doing it for a little longer.
Wait, Jim Ringer knew a thing or two about defense, did he not?
Yes, he did. Yep, he sure did. So, what? And you know, in that region, I mean, you know, the region I just spoke of, you had Coach Ringer, Coach Wallace, Coach Montgomery at Gaffney, Doc Gutshaw, you know, Coach Bentley at Burns. It's just a all-star cast of coaches, and all those guys, if not in the Hall of Fame, are going to be in the Hall of Fame. And not even in ours and in the overall Hall of Fame, won a lot of football games.
Kind of that old Region 2 4A up into the Rock Hill area was
that's some... exactly right. Oh. And we're kind of trending back that way, except for Burns. We're trending back that way this coming realignment. So it's going to be fun.
It will be fun. I can tell you this. I'll share this. Doc Davis and Dave Gutshaw, I used to interview them in segments just like this on the radio. And Doc Davis, I asked him, who would be, if you could choose a coach from the area to add to your staff, who would it be? He said Dave Gutshaw. I asked Dave Gutshaw the same question. He said Doc Davis. So the respect they had for each other.
Absolutely. And they were good friends. And, you know, and I said this too yesterday, you know, this is such a great fraternity we're involved with. High school football coaches are known for their togetherness and support each other. I sit there and watch Dave and Doc just sit there and talk before the biggest game of the year. But I mean, and it still is. The Spartanburg-Dorman game is huge. And they would talk and be friends, but then they get on each other's sideline and they want to beat each other, you know, and shake each other's hand and they'd be friends again. And so it's just really cool to witness. It really was.
Well, I know you're doing that for the next generation now. Coach, we appreciate, you know, your time, obviously, and everything you're doing with the Football Coaches Association. So I hope everybody just soak it in. You know, obviously, I hope everybody can soak it in what you're helping provide there at the Coaches Clinic in Myrtle Beach.
Matt, I appreciate it. Appreciate y'all having me on.
Absolutely. We'll be in touch, Coach. Thanks so much.
All right, buddy. Thank you.
That is Jason Farmer from Dorman High. He is an offensive assistant under Jake Morris. They're going to be good this year. I don't doubt that one bit. And that was a great perspective, too. I'll go back and re-listen to that, the perspective that Coach Farmer just provided us on region realignment as well and how they view that from a coach's perspective. But now we will shift gears here on Four Quarter Friday, and we will talk baseball with Brandon Brown from the Classic Baseball Tournament in Georgetown. It's coming to my backyard, and I'm so excited about it, about seeing all these great teams and these great players that are going to be coming to Georgetown. And the mission for the Classic Baseball Tournament is all about assembling the best
players and teams from the state of South Carolina there together on one field in one place. And they are trying to achieve that. Brandon, oh, he's got a bad signal. Okay, no, now we've got now. It. Now we're good. Now. Hey, Brandon, I was just saying that the mission there for you, and I'm so glad you're carrying it forth. We'll talk about Coach Johnson in a second, but maybe you can, because you're a South Carolina guy too, and this is a South Carolina show. You can tell us the mission about bringing these players and these teams from inside the state. So don't let them go play in all those tournaments all over the place. There's plenty of ball players and ball clubs right here in our state to play against.
Yeah, we've had well, first of all, thanks for having me on, but we've had this tournament going for 36 years. I'm only 40 years old, so that tells you how long the tournament's been going on. I was a little kid when it started, but we've had this for 36 years, and this is one of the most talented crops of kids we've I'm a little bit biased that I've ever seen us have. So I'm really excited to see it. That Thursday night should be. I said the other night I was doing an Instagram live with some kids. I said it's going to have to be a major family emergency for me to leave that park that Thursday night.
I can imagine. So now, before we talk about the teams and the players, let's talk about Coach Johnson. I know he's a major influence on you. We just had the executive director from the Football Coaches Association on, just talking about the way coaches influence kids. And you know why coaches stay in it? Because once they see that influence, the fruits of that labor, they want to stay. Mike Johnson did it his whole life. That's what he did. And this is the first year that this tournament is happening without him a part of it. So tell me about those emotions and also like what you might say or how we can honor Coach Johnson here in the first year that he won't be there in person with us.
Well, I think the best way to honor him is to go out. And he used to always say, I don't like these 10 to 8 ball games. I like 3-2 because he wanted to get him over with quick and move on to the next one. But I think the best way we could honor him is to everybody to show up and, be there early and stay for the games, that even though it's not your team playing, stay for those games too, and just watch good high school baseball.
I love that. I do. I love that. Yeah, and he wants to see a 3-2 game because that means there's not many errors, right? It's a well pitched game, not a lot of
not
mistakes.
Many pitches. Save some arms.
Yeah, save some arms. Yeah. I love that. All right, well, let's talk about some of the teams and the players that are going to be. Coming to Georgetown for the Classic Baseball Tournament. We'll let you go into everything that you want to about when it is, where they can find tickets and the best way to come on down and stay in the area and catch the whole weekend.
Yeah, so we start Thursday, March the 5th, and go all the way through Sunday. Well, every team will play 3 7-inning games. Well, at least 7. We've had some extra inning games before. Actually, the best game of the tournament last year was extra innings. Daniel beat Lucy Beckham on a walk-off double. But, Thursday, March 5th, we're going to get started, and then our championship will be our last game on Sunday. I think the tickets are on the classicgtown.com, but you can just get them when you walk up. It's a beautiful facility. It was built in 1896, and so the fact that whatever the math is on that, how many years it's been open, I think Grover Cleveland was the president at the time that this park opened, and now here we are. But I'm excited about it. It should be fun.
Well, look, again, I'm biased, but I know Dorman's coming down, so tell us about Dorman and some of those players. Because
listen, Dorman's very interesting because they hadn't been here in a while, but James Island and Dorman are in this tournament. James Island is last year's 5A state champion, and they're nationally ranked this year, but in a couple of polls, Dorman's ranked number one. And one of the reasons that Dorman's ranked number one is because they have Connor Wells as their stud left-handed pitcher. He's a 2027 kid. Well, they just got a transfer very recently of a kid named Brennan New, who's committed to Arkansas. So you have their top two pitchers are committed to LSU and Arkansas. So go find me another team in the country who has two SEC arms that go in high school Monday, Wednesday guys. But their top two guys are that. And then they have, another kid that's going to Virginia Tech. Their shortstop's going to Coastal Carolina. And they have one of the best freshmen in the country, Carter Nash, that's playing the outfield for them. But then you have James Island, who is, like I said, they're nationally ranked. They have three kids going power four. They have a pitcher, Cooper Jones, going to Auburn. A second baseman, which in probably every other program in the state, he would play shortstop. But he plays second base for James Island, going to North Carolina, Tripp Ostergaard. And then what many people consider either the best or the second best player in the state, Taj Marchand, playing shortstop, who's going to Ole Miss. So those two, depending on what happens Thursday night, could play in the championship, which would be a preview, in my opinion, could be the preview of the 5A state title game.
That's just incredible. And also, you've got great coaches. Obviously, the players are what you're going to watch on the field, but there's a reason those players are good, because you have great coaches that are coming. Yeah. I've had the pleasure to talk to some of them, but I know I was on the phone briefly with Tony Osterman yesterday from Stratford. I mean, you have legendary coaches leading these programs in you know, it's my hometown. I can say it, like little old Georgetown. It's unbelievable. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, first of all, I was going to say this about the players. I'd be remiss if I didn't mention the number one left-handed pitcher in the country is coming, Carson Bowleman from Southside Christian, who does play for a great coach, Scott Freeman, who's won this tournament before when he was at Malden. Andy Hallett is coming from AC Flora. He's won this tournament all the time. We have a first-year head coach in Dell Lever coming from Chapin, a first-year head coach in Rod Sanders at Georgetown. And Tony Osterman's been around for 100 years, but then in the upstate, you get Adam Hostler at Seneca, who played, I think he played at Seneca. So that's like going to Carolina and coaching at Clemson. But, man, a lot of great coaches. And then Matt Spivey, who he might run the best program in the state at James Island. And let's see, who do we miss? How do we forget Jack Jolly at Dorman, who's just a great, not just a great coach, like all these guys, he's a great man too. Really enjoy talking to him.
And also, look, you're going to have great baseball all throughout the weekend. As you said, it starts on a Thursday. It starts on a Thursday, right? March 5th?
Correct.
A Thursday?
Yeah. Thursday, we'll start off. It will start off with Chapin and AC Flora Thursday at 12 o'clock. Then Georgetown will play Stratford, which is a cool – it's a rematch of the first classic game – well, the second classic game in 1991 was, you know, Freddie Jordan at the Citadel, who was at the Citadel from Stratford. He coached 36 years ago against Mike Johnson. So Mike Johnson's obviously not here with us anymore, but we're going to have Freddie Jordan throw out a first pitch. The plan was to have those two guys throw out a first pitch this year. That would have been really cool. But, Freddie Jordan will throw out a first pitch before Georgetown plays Stratford. Then game three, which is kind of the main event, it will be James Island, which I consider to be the best lineup in the state, going against the best arm in the state, Carson Bowleman and Southside Christian. Then we will end with no slouch of a game, Seneca, who has William Cutshaw, who's committed to Ole Miss. He was 12-1 on the mound last year, and he will go against Dorman, which, take a name out of a hat, who you want to throw for them. You got multiple power four guys that could throw for them.
Just incredible. It's an amazing assemblage of talent and teams and names that are going to be at the Classic baseball tournament coming up in Georgetown. And in the middle of all this, there's a home run derby. So tell us the history to the home run derby there.
Well, the home run derby is part of what we call the skills contest. And we've been doing that since 2003. Tyler Colvin actually won the first one, played at Clemson and played for the Cubs and a couple other teams. But we've been doing it for a long time. And then we kind of brought it back when PJ Morlando came back. And then he just put on such a show. He hit 43 home runs in our home run derby, and which, you know, he's a first round pick. So he put on a show. And then last year we had a great battle between Hank Apley from Lucy Beckham, who's at the Citadel now, and Spencer Kahn, who's playing football at Samford. But I don't know who's hitting it yet this year. Usually the coaches text me, but it's a skills contest. It's a party. My buddy, Jason Ward, we call him Mr. Red Gloves, Mr. Saturday Night. He hosted on the field, and it's just, like 2 hours of just like a lot of fun, just music and a bunch of home runs and a base running contest and a coach's fungo target contest. It's just a lot of fun.
And here's the other thing. You might think, if you haven't been to Mike Johnson Park before, you might just say, oh, going to see high school game, you know, how will I sit? What will the food be like? Well, forget that. It's a killer park. It's a great park. And then it's more like a minor league setting, and then great food to go with it. So tell us about, like, when you're there, this is why you can spend so much time and catch multiple games, because you've got great food, and you also, you're going to have great seats too.
It is like stepping back in time a little bit because, you know, it used to be a complex. It was a football stadium / baseball stadium. Then in 1982, it went straight baseball, or 83. I think it was 83 went straight baseball. But the old football bleachers are still up in center field. So very different dimensions. You know, 341 down left, the left field line. So maybe the longest left field in the state. And then the right field line's 281. So maybe the shortest right field in the state. So I'm the, like, I know Palmer Hornick for Dorman. I'm pretty sure he's hitting in the home run derby. He's left-handed. So, you know, the odds on favorite right now to win it would probably be Palmer Hornick because of the short right field. But as far as the food goes, it's really cool because we have my buddy Jason Ward, same guy. So he's got a posse back there that has kind of got a cult following. They're very similar to Clemson has the Cajun Cafe. They call themselves the Winyaw Bay Cafe. And they've got an Instagram following. They have a little bit of like a little merch line, and people kind of wander back there and realize like, oh, this is pretty cool back here. So they got their own little following.
You played first base for Coach Johnson, right?
Yeah, sure. A long time ago.
Are you left-handed?
No.
Oh, no, you Michael, missed out.
His son Michael is, you know, he played. He was left-handed, so he had a bunch of home runs there. But he had more.
He took advantage. Obviously. Oh, yeah. No, yeah. You got to be a left-handed power stick to play there. Oh yeah. No, you missed out.
Well, here's the thing too: is a lot of people come to that park and they think, oh, 331 in center, like this, the score of this game is going to be, you know, 15-13, and it's just not because the Winyaw Bay is behind center field. The wind's always blowing in, and the balls just seem to be, you know, they don't fly that much there.
Well, that's why it's a great setting. It's going to be so much fun. I'm looking forward. Of course, I'll be there, and you'll be there all weekend long, and then we'll honor my, Coach Mike Johnson, and then we'll get to see the next generation take the field together.
We've had 13 first-round picks, 94 overall draft picks that played in this tournament, and we've had 33 teams that have participated, have won a state title. So we'll see if we can get 34, 5, and 6 this year, and maybe – couple draft picks, which I feel pretty certain we'll have a couple draft picks.
All right, well, now we know how to get there and everything, but the best way to follow you, because you'll be promoting this throughout, is like on Instagram, right?
Yes. So the classic _1991, and we've been doing two or three little Instagram live interviews throughout the week. We're hopefully going to have Brendan New and States Far from Dorman on. And we probably had 30 or 40 players that have come on and done live interviews. Chapin is the defending champion, so they're gonna start off against AC Flora and see if they can defend their title. But yeah, the classic _1991 on Instagram is the most active account that we have.
Oh man, it's beautiful. Brandon, thanks so much. Yeah. I see you're en route. What are you doing? Anything important?
Man, I see like every time I talk to you guys, I'm either driving to Charlotte or coming back. So there was a Panther season ticket holder dinner last night that we went to. So it was pretty cool.
it's always the Panthers. I know you have a job, and yet it's always the Panthers. The Panthers are top. You know, well, your family's the top priority. You're always doing something for the family.
Yeah.
But then after that, it's the Panthers and the Classic. It's baseball and NFL football.
That's it. Just sports all the time.
All right. Well, we'll check in with you again. We'll have you back on before the Classic happens.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Just remind everybody. All right, cool. Thanks, Brandon.
Thanks, man. Appreciate it.
That is Brandon Bram with the Classic Baseball Tournament. We'll take another break, and when we come back, we'll wrap things up. We do have some sad news, a sad note to pass along. A prominent high school coach passed away this week, and we want to make sure we at least acknowledge that, and we will do that in our final segment. We roll to a close here on Four Quarter Friday on the Chief Sports Network.
It's football season. The Barn Dominium Company wants to help you build your dream home with your dream space, to watch the games and entertain your friends and family. Make your dream a reality. Visit thebarndominiumco.com. That's thebarndominiumco.com for floor plans, photo galleries, locations, and to learn more about us.
Oh, man, The building is on fire.
Emergencies and accidents happen. When you're in the middle of a fire or water event, all you want is for things to return to normal as soon as possible. Resto Pros of the Midlands is with you, guiding you through the process and working with you to get your home or office back in working order. They'll answer your questions, discuss procedures, and can act as your advocate when it comes to processing your insurance claim. RestoProsMidlandsSC.com. Open 24/7 when you need them. Quality that is guaranteed.
When playing sports, you want a coach that will fight for you. At Hewitt Diamandouros Law Firm, we've got your back. Whether it's personal injury, insurance disputes, negligence, or wrongful death, our team delivers exceptional legal services that makes meaningful difference in the lives of the individuals and families we work for. Visit hdlawsc.com. hdlawsc.com. Hewitt Diamandouros, we're on your team! Tuned into the State of South Carolina's weekly high school show, Four Quarter Friday, hosted by Matt Smith and Steve Hall, part of the Chief Sports Network, and proudly presented by the South Carolina Athletic Coaches Association.
I keep believing, no plans on leaving, even if we have a losing season. Grind is a capital letter on my baseball cap. What holds us together around this dot on the map? Now it's the color I bleed in the stitches and my stitches and my stitches and my stitches and my pride is a capital letter on my baseball cap. It's what holds us together around this dot on the map. It's the color I bleed in the stitches in my shoes and my jacket matching pride.
Oh, it's the two-minute warning here on Four Quarter Friday as we close things out. And we're so glad that you were with us. We did miss Steve Hall today. Don't worry. Steve will be back with us next week, just battling the flu right now. So he'll be back with us as we get even deeper into the boys and girls basketball playoffs. And then we'll, of course, be talking about softball and baseball and all the things around high school. Our thanks, of course, to our guests today, which were fantastic. Sweet Lou Bazejack, always good to talk to Lou Bazejack. He filled us in on all the games that are going to be taking place through all the brackets. We talked about the boys' playoffs. He's going to a girls' basketball playoff game tonight, big rivalry game between Lexington and River Bluff. I told you I've got my eyes on Dorman and Spartanburg, but hey, let's not forget about the individual achievements as well. I can't believe I took this long to mention it, but we had Lane Fowler on a couple of weeks ago talking about Colt Fowler, his son. He plays alongside some really good players, Fabian McClintock and Suki Singh in the backcourt with Colt Fowler. But Colt has just been named this week the 2026 5A Boys Player of the Year. Congratulations to Colt. That's Colt Fowler, Lane Fowler's son. He's got Burns in the playoffs, and they are going to be a force to be reckoned with. And they're a three seed in the upstate. Dorman is a four seed. Dutch Fork is the two, and Ridgeview is the one in 5A Division I on that side of the bracket together in the upstate. If the chalk holds, and look, no disrespect to Spartan High or any or Clover, any of the teams that are playing tonight, but if the chalk holds, we could have an incredible Final Four set up next Tuesday in 5A Division I. Your 4A Boys Player of the Year, Josh Leonard of Wilson. They are also a team that we're watching out for in the 4A playoffs. Player of the Year in 3A, Jordan McGahee from Orangeburg-Wilkinson. They are a one seed in the lower part of the state. We had Lou Bazejack on talking about Jordan McGahee and what a player he is. In 2A, Caden Clyburn from Andrew Jackson. That's one of the top teams in 2A. They are certainly one of the favorites to make it to Columbia and play for that 2A state championship. And in 1A, Milton McRae from C.A. Johnson, another player that Lou Bazejack highlighted in our earlier conversation. C.A. Johnson, one of those teams that would take on all comers. They've got seven losses, but they played a murderer's row of 5A and 4A powers to get them ready. They went undefeated in region play behind Milton McRae, and now they are in the playoffs, and they are battle-tested. So we wanted to make sure we mentioned that. Congratulations to all those players. We'll probably talk about them again next week. And coming up next here on the Chief Sports Network, you're going to have Inside the Gamecocks. That's coming up with Jamie Bradford. I know they'll be talking about Salute the Troops weekend. South Carolina is playing host to the Army, Navy, and Air Force Academies in that order. Paul Mineri told us there won't be any flyovers because all of the military planes are actually on call, on watch for some things that could be happening across the globe. So no flyovers, but still great weekend ahead at Founders Park. So that's a great place to be in case you are within a short drive to Founders Park. You could see Army, Navy, and the Air Force all in one weekend. That's a great thing that they're doing there. So I'm sure that's going to be part of what that Jamie Bradford is doing on Inside the Gamecocks. And you've got J.C. Sherbert and the Mad Dog, Phil Molnax, coming up as well as part of that. So stay with us on the Chief Sports Network. And if you want to get in touch with us, what did we miss today? Four Quarter Friday. That's the number four. FourQuarterFriday@gmail.com. If you download the app, you can go back, catch all the old shows. They'll lead you to YouTube and all the things and Instagram and all the things that you need to stay up to date on high school sports across the Palmetto State. So when we come back next week, we'll be digging in even further to boys basketball and girls basketball. We'll roll out of here now and turn it over to Jamie Bradford and Inside the Gamecocks. Tip of the hat, of course, to the Mad Dog, Phil Molnax, for stepping up and producing our show today, keeping it between the lines. And thank you to our guest, the state's Lou Bazejack, Jason Farmer from the South Carolina Football Coaches Association, and Brandon Brown from the Classic Baseball Tournament in Georgetown. We didn't cover it all, but we'll try to get it all taken care of next week. I'm Matt Smith saying so long for now. This has been Four Quarter Friday on the Chief Sports Network.
From the Lowcountry to the Upstate, from the Midlands to the PD, we've got you covered. This is our state. South Carolina matters to us. All of South Carolina. We love talking ball. And we love talking ball with you. Thank you for tuning into the Four Quarter Friday High School Show. Every Friday at 9 a.m. on the Chief Sports Network. Proudly presented by the South Carolina Athletic Coaches Association.